Let's open our Bibles now in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My garden fence at the front had to be renewed this summer. So we renewed it, and I set out to paint it, to varnish it. And I used that brand of paint that does what it says on the tin. You know the one I mean? And I've used it many times, and I have to say it always does what it says on the tin. And so I bought a large can of it, and I began slapping it on the fence, absolutely certain that I knew what it would do what it said on the tin. But I'd done one coat, and I was putting on the second coat, and it struck me that although I knew it would do what it said on the tin, I hadn't read the tin. And I just thought, what does the tin actually say? I mean, perhaps the tin said, after 5 hours, this will turn it into pink marshmallow. Maybe the tin said, after 7 days, this will spontaneously combust. It could have said that. After 6 months, this will turn into an irresistible attraction for the infamous carnivorous Ron Seal termites. You know, it could have said that. After 70 days, it will turn into super glue, and all the deacons coming to the deacons' meeting will stick to it. You know, it could have said that, couldn't it? It could have said it, and it would have done what it said on the tin. I didn't read it. Didn't check what I was signing up to. But we don't, do we? Online, you know, you click the box. Have you read the terms and conditions and agree with them? Yes. No. Wouldn't understand it even if I read it. We miss out, too, sometimes by not checking things out. A while back, a lady from overseas with a young child said, oh, you know, was asking me about pantomimes. I said, oh, they're great. They're wonderful. They're a lot of fun. Oh, she said, oh, dear. I said, why? She said, well, I saw it advertised, and I knew it was for children, but I didn't take my little girl because I thought, isn't it that thing where nobody speaks? I said, no, that's mime. This is pantomime. Entirely different. Oh, no, she said, I didn't buy a ticket because I thought everyone was just pretending and acting. No, not like that at all. I was trying to explain, look behind you. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, no, he isn't. And everything, you know. But she missed out because she didn't actually check it. So you have a crawly. Sometimes we do things without checking, and sometimes we miss out because we don't check. And people miss out on Jesus, miss out on God, because they don't check. Sometimes they think it's bad, so they don't go for it. Or sometimes they buy into something in this world, and it's not good for them, and it draws them away from God. You know, people are like that. We're here this evening because we want to follow Jesus. I want to follow him wherever he leads. And as a church, our plan, our goal is to get people to follow Jesus wherever he leads. I say that because at least half of you won't be here in 5 years in Bangor. So we have to train people while you're here to follow Jesus and say, look, whatever Jesus teaches you to do, you do it. You follow him. So let's focus on what Jesus is saying. He begins by saying, I am the way. In fact, it was so powerful. We're just going to just be looking at this this verse 6 right through the study. I am the way, says Jesus. In fact, it was such a powerful thing in the early church that the early Christianity was known as the way. That was how it was known for quite a long while. What was it? Oh, I'm a follower of the way. What way is that? It's the way of Jesus. He said, I am the way. You know, Jesus has come to the earth for us. We live in the if it feels good, do it society, don't we? It's a philosophy that's got a lot of people into a lot of trouble. But Jesus said, no, you don't follow your feelings. You don't follow your heart. You don't follow your head. You follow me. I am the way. I came across a little sort of art installation in Piccadilly Circus. This was many years ago. And I've got a PowerPoint of it, actually, and I absolutely love this. And it's by Jenny Holzer, 1988. And it's on in the days when neon signs were kind of fairly new and modern. She there over on Piccadilly Circus, overlooking the heart of London, with this plea, protect me from what I want. Protect me from what I want. I thought that was fantastic. Over the hub of our city and all the people chasing commercialism and commerce. And of course, this was in the loads of money period of life when money was flowing through London and people were all driving sports cars and sniffing cocaine and just all out for money and greed was good. This artist, I know nothing about it. It's the only piece of work by I know. But I love it. Protect me from what I want, screams the city back at the commuters and at the shoppers in the centre of London. Protect me from what I want. And, you know, it's kind of true. If God answered all our prayers, what a mess we'd be in. Because some of the things we've asked for have turned out to be not good, weren't a good idea at all in retrospect. I know if God had answered all my prayers as a teenager, my life would have gone severely wrong. God has to lead us. But we live in a world where the world doesn't want to follow the way. The world wants to follow if it feels good, do it. The world wants to make its own rules as it goes along. People want to make up their own rules as they go along. A couple of years ago, I was preaching through the book of Proverbs and was struck at the contrast between the book of Proverbs and the modern world, where the book of Proverbs is so rooted and grounded in God. See, if your maker says this is good for you, it's going to be good for you. It has absolute authority. And God doesn't give us rules. God didn't make rules to make life difficult. He didn't give us rules so we would break them and he then would judge us. The Bible says God has no pleasure in judging. God given us rules because God's rules are the best deal in town. They're the best way to a happy society, the best way to a happy family, the best way to a happy life. It's not God being dictatorial, it's God being loving. Saying, look, this is the best deal in town. My way is the best deal in town. And Jesus is saying, my way is the best deal in town. And if we don't do that, we end up ungrounded. And this actually happened in Ireland. I'm going to show you a picture. A van fell into the harbour. I forget the name of the town now. It fell into the harbour. And so, obviously, you've got to fish it out of the harbour. So, the next slide, please. You really need to make sure the crane is anchored. Otherwise, the crane will fall into the harbour as well. And it struck me that that is the perfect picture of modern life. You make up your own rules as you go along. And if you say, I don't want God and I don't want his rules, then you end up making up your own rules. And because your own rules aren't anchored in anything, they're likely to tip you over the edge. They're likely to go wrong. And you get somebody like the atheist Richard Dawkins, who has an atheist really only, their only rules is what's convenient to them and their class, because there's ultimately no right or wrong. So whatever's convenient, they'll do. And so, you know, Richard Dawkins clearly feels offended by children or people with Down syndrome, so he comes out and says, oh, well, you know, we should abort all children who have Down syndrome. And everyone's screaming and shouting, but, you know, he has no rules. In his atheist world, that's not right, it's not wrong, it's just what he feels. So anyway, you know, obviously your car's falling into the harbour, so and the crane's falling out. So you get another crane, and you pull the van out, and then you pull the other crane out. So here we go, let's pull the other crane out. Here we go, lift it up, and just one more lift, and we're out. Oh, no. One more lift, and we're in, you know. So suddenly, Richard Dawkins is confronted by a media outrage. And everyone says, you can't do that. And then you've got all these people who've got beautiful Down syndrome children, writing and saying, you know, how dare you say that about my child? So Richard Dawkins suddenly changes his ethics again. Oh, no, I didn't really mean that. You know, no, it wasn't like that. You know, he's got no roots. He can say whatever he likes. He's got neither right nor wrong. And nothing is anchored. Whereas Jesus said, I am the way. You know, I am the one from whom this world came into being. I know you. I understand you better than anybody else. And my way is based on love. It's based on non-judgmental, self-giving love, on purity, forgiveness, on service to others. Jesus is saying, I am the way, because if you follow Jesus, you are anchored in God's love. And you're on a firm foundation. You're just not going to be swept overboard by your own feelings or by the changes in society. Jesus said, I am the way. He also said, I am the truth. The Manic Street Preachers, one of my favourite bands, have a song called This Is My Truth, Tell Me Yours. Well, okay, if that means let's sit down and talk about what we really believe in. That's good, that's good. Dialogue's good. If it means all truth is relative, then you wonder. Because on the one hand, the Manics sing, this is my truth, tell me yours. And on the other side, they sing, if you tolerate this, your children will be next. And sing against fascism. So there's kind of, they can't keep it up. You know, at one time they say, yeah, you know, all truth is relative. Oh, but fascism is absolutely wrong. Which you have to say, well, that actually contradicts what you sang in your other song. You're following me here. You know, you're dealing with relative stuff that ends up, you're going to end up in contradiction. Jesus said, I am the truth. Now, I know that we all of us, certainly in this church, we are very strong against churches that become authoritarian. It's very easy for religious leaders to become manipulative and authoritarian. I've got another little cartoon about that. This guy's got a bit of a grudge, by the way, a bit of a chip on his shoulder, this cartoonist, but he's got some guy, some vicar saying, it's not what I think that's important, it's not what you think that's important, it's what God thinks that is truly important. And I'm going to tell you what God thinks. So, yeah, you know, you can turn Christianity into something authoritarian, but that's not what we do here. What we say here is we are persuading you to follow Jesus. Because what we want you to do is when you leave Penrith and when you leave Bangor, that you follow Jesus. So you're not following the vicar or the minister or Peter, or you are following Jesus. Truth is to be examined. There's a truth in what Jesus says and what Jesus states and what Jesus insists on. It's a truth that we follow. And Steve Turner, the poet, attacks modern world in which in religious things, you know, all things are equal. He says, it's called creed. We believe in Marx, Freud and Darwin, believe that everything is okay as long as you don't hurt anyone to the best of your definition of hurt and to the best of your definition of knowledge. We believe that everything is getting better despite evidence of the contrary. The evidence must be investigated. You can prove anything with evidence. We believe there is something in horoscopes, UFOs and bent spoons. Jesus was a good man, just like Buddha, Mohammed and ourselves. He was a good moral teacher, though we think that his good morals were really bad. We believe that all religions are basically the same, at least the ones we read were. They all believe in love and goodness. They only differ on matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God and salvation. We believe that man is essentially good. It's only his behaviour that lets him down. This is the fault of society. Society is the fault of conditions. Conditions are the fault of society. We believe that each man must find the truth that is right for him. Reality will adapt accordingly. The universe will readjust. History will alter. We believe there is no absolute truth, except in the truth that there is no absolute truth. We believe in the rejection of creeds, he says. And you get what he's talking about. We're just too lazy to examine the truth and see if it matches reality, if it matches history, if it matches our human condition. Ravi Zachary says it's a good thing that deep down humankind recognizes absolute truth because the world's religions contradict one another. Islam says that Jesus was not crucified. Christianity says he was. Only one of us can be right. Judaism says Jesus was not the Messiah. Christianity says he was. Only one of us can be right. Hinduism says that God has often been incarnate. Christianity says God was incarnate only in Jesus. We cannot both be right. Buddhism says the world's mysteries will end when we do what is right. Christianity says we cannot do what is right. The world's mysteries will end when we believe what is right. And so Zacharias points out, you know, that you just can't relativize truth eventually. You have to decide. You know, Susan and I went on holiday last time, when we went abroad last time, which was a few years back, we flew to Madeira and we came back. And as we came in, I really hoped the pilot would land on the runway at Manchester Airport rather than on the M56, you know? He might have felt like landing on the M56, but I'm rather glad he decided to land on the runway at Manchester Airport. There are some things that are not negotiable. Some things are right and true, and other things are not in this world. And it's the same with religion. Some things are true and some things are not. We must work out what's right and what's wrong. And Jesus invites us to do that. Jesus says, I am the truth. Jesus invites you to consider for yourself what is the truth and to consider his claims and what he said. That's why at the beginning of the service we're reading out things that he'd said. We invite you to study Jesus and work it out for yourself. I am the way, I am the truth, and of course he says, I am the life. Well, my master's dissertation was on a very early Christian book, the Octavius by a man called Munius Felix, in which he says, we don't preach great things, we live them. We don't preach great things, we live them. We've learnt to live in such a way that our life is what God wanted us to live. I am the life, says Jesus. Jesus refocuses our life. When we invite Jesus into our life changes, and he refocuses our life. We find things that once were of no interest to us now become interesting. Things that were of no importance become important. And equally, things that we did consider important, we realize were just fake. Many, many years ago, as a young man, in fact, I came across this cartoon of the ladder. So I'll read that because it goes on the internet. There's a man climbing a ladder, and he's he's finishing with college, he's throwing his books away. He says, in college, I started climbing the ladder of success. The climb is steep, so I never look back. The climb is long, so I had to get rid of extra weight, and his wife and kids get ditched. The climb is competitive, so I had to step on a few fingers. And he's climbing up the ladder. Finally, I made it to the top of the ladder, he says. And the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. It's against a brick wall. All that, and it really didn't get him where he wanted to go. Jesus says, I am the life. I can't say what following Jesus will make to your difference, what that will make to your life, because that's between you and Jesus. My job as a minister, as a pastor, is to make sure you listen to Jesus, you follow Jesus in your life, and go the way that Jesus takes you. I don't know where he'll guide you or what you'll end up doing. But that's not my interest. My interest is for you to follow him, is for you to make sure that you are walking in his way. And if you're at that point in your life when you're saying, Peter, I'm hearing you, but you know, I haven't really begun to follow Jesus in my life, can I make an invitation? On Tuesday evening, we are starting the Alpha course. 10-week course, it'll finish before Christmas. It's free food every night. You come, don't need to eat before you come. Turn up from work, turn up from the lab, turn up from lectures, turn up from the library at 7 o'clock. Sit around a table, sit down meal around a table. We watch a video, we break into groups and we talk. And we together look at and we examine what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you're on that start of life and just wondering, am I going to follow Jesus or not? What does that mean? Please consider coming along to the Alpha course and sign up for it in Faith Cafe afterwards. Please, may I encourage you to look beyond the church. The church is us, and we're very imperfect people. We don't claim to be anything but imperfect. But what we do say is this: we're imperfect people who are following Jesus to the best of our ability. And that's what we're trying to do. We get it wrong sometimes. And if perhaps sometime in the past the church has got it wrong with you, well, on behalf of the church, I apologize. But let me say, please don't follow the church. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus in your life. I am the way, said Jesus. I am the truth. I am the life. Let's bow our heads and pray. If the band, please, would join me on the platform. Father, we thank you that we have a Savior called Jesus, who is the Lord, who is the King, who is the one who understands us, who is the one who has the plan for our lives, is the one who puts up with us, understands our imperfections, our struggles, and our failures, the one who died for us on the cross, the one who loves us. And Lord, we just pray that as we commit our lives to him and bring up our offering to him, we too might offer our lives to him, to follow his way, believe in his truth, and live his life in this world. For we pray in his name. Amen.